the intrinsic rewards that come from that are really what ultimately I think should drive somebody to have discipline and ultimately to have that level of consistency. It's not about getting the participant trophy, right? It's about getting that satisfaction of being the best version of yourself.
Scott, we'd like to introduce our new partner. It's UCAN, and they help you finish stronger.
We have Matt Bach, who is the director of UCAN Endurance Business. Matt, tell us a little bit about your story with UCAN.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the show, so thanks for this. But during my first four Ironman events, I had GI distress that led to bonking issues because I had sugar overload and I couldn't take in any more calories. It was holding me back from achieving my goals. It cost me tens of minutes in my performances. So I reached out to a sports nutritionist in 2014. She introduced me to UCAN. I used it for a few months leading into Ironman Maryland in 2014. And for the first time ever in an Ironman, I had no GI distress, no bonking issues, ran 20 minutes faster than I ever had off the bike, clocked a 3-flat marathon because finally nutrition was working for me, not against me. I ended up winning Ironman Maryland. And that was my epiphany moment, my UCAN moment, when I wondered, why is everyone not already using this?
From Iron Man to Iron Gut.
And now he's working for the company. So that's how much he believes in this. You can try UCAN as well by going to UCAN.co and putting in the code TRN20 at checkout and get 20% off your order. We're excited about our podcast episode today with Andy Jones Wilkins. But before we get there, we want to talk about a $2,000 giveaway.
That's a fast packing giveaway, a kit, everything you need to be successful at Fastpacking by Jonji.com.
And we'll tell you how to enter that a little bit later in the podcast. But we want to talk about those AVO shorts you ran in today.
I ran in for the first time that short. It's lightweight, four-way stretch fabric. But I got to tell you, it feels like six-way. It moves any which way you move, and they're lightweight.
I felt when I ran in mine that I was naked.
Well, that's a problem, Scott, and I'm glad I didn't see that. But I got to tell you, they fit right, they feel right, the pockets are great, and I enjoyed running in them.
Check out jonji.com, use the code TRN15 and get 15% off.
Ladies and gentlemen of the wide, worldwide ultra running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest trail running nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast.
But I know it's on the upper edge, and you guys have won a couple of awards. And
just because the facts aren't accurate, don't worry about it. This is a podcast. This isn't. We don't even have a letterbox. Nobody's gonna write us. We don't even know where it is. I started to question myself. Maybe I'm a badminton player and not a runner. Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
I'm Scott Ward.
And I'm Andy Jones Wilkins. And welcome to Trail Runner Nation.
And we're doing an episode today on, we came up with a couple of terms, consistency and discipline.
Well, the way that it came up is both Don and I have recently kind of upped our games individually. And we started talking about how discipline and consistency have been very important in getting back and really getting a good training program going. And of course, Coach Andy's on the East Coast and sees it a little bit different from different point of view. But yet I'm sure that he also has some thoughts on consistency and discipline. And so we thought, you know, let's talk about it.
So Scott and I both shared some of our aha moments, some of our golden nuggets that we have applied ourselves separately and independently from one another. And I said, hey, I'm trying to get back in shape, trying to get some mojo going. My life has opened up to a spot where I have a bit more time, and here's what I'm doing to implement my strategy. And he goes, that's interesting because I'm in a similar spot, and here's what I'm doing. And so we compared notes, and we said, whoa, stop. Let's wait and have this discussion in real time and hit record, but we need to bring on somebody else because we certainly, together, can't fill this much time. And we thought, well, AJW is certainly, he's known for some comebacks, not only on the trail where he's come back from, you know, behind the front runner and come out and taken victory, but he's also come back from some injuries. And we all go through, whether we're a veteran or a newbie, doesn't matter where we are in that continuum, there's always a comeback involved, a get back in shape. So that's kind of where we started with this AJW. And this is probably more than you have heard so far about your invitation. So what's kind of fun is this is kind of the background of this conversation, AJW.
Wow. Sounds like you guys have been talking a lot. and preparing for this podcast. So let's just jump right in. I mean, consistency and discipline are topics that are extremely important to all of us as ultra runners. Let's start with you, Don. What is it that kind of flipped the switch for you and said, I've got to get my act together? And you know, what are some of the tools that you've used to get this going?
And I'm going to tell you about that. Scott, you're next. You're up front because we actually had a run today and we kind of discussed and we thought, you know what? Better off Scott says his first because this is really, really great. Then I'll tell mine and then I'll give you time, AJW, to formulate yours. But what got me kicked off was I felt like I was so out of shape. It felt like I'm running through Jell-O. It's like this is very hard and laborsome and it shouldn't be this way. I need to get back at it and I need to be patient with myself, discipline. I need consistency. And that's where I started to practice what I'm going to share. Scott?
Well, first of all, before I get into my topic, you probably, those that are smart realize that trail running or any running is not rainbows and unicorns that you see on social media. Mm. It's not waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and lacing up your shoes and prancing out the door and smelling the roses as you gallop down the trail. Sure, there are moments that happens and you can get out the door very, very easily, but there are other days like last Saturday with me. Mm. I had a long run ahead of me. It was supposed to be a 12-mile run and I got to the trailhead, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I'm saying this because I hope I'm not alone. I sat in my truck at the trailhead for 45 minutes, looking at emails, looking at Strava, looking at, you know, just doing things, and I thought of a dozen reasons why I wasn't going to go run. You know, 12-mile, you know, I put in a good hard training week, got some good training runs in, and I thought, you know what, I haven't taken a day off for a long time, other than my normal training days off. You know, I don't need to do it today. And for 45 minutes, I sat in that truck, and then I came back to a I don't know if it's a mantra or a way of thinking that I learned from a TED Talk not too long ago, and I apologize. I meant to look this up so that I could give credit where credit is due. If you go to the show notes, I'll have it listed there. But it was a TED Talk by someone that as the pandemic began, she was a type A personality. She says, this is the time where I'm going to go out and I'm going to become a runner. And she registered for a half marathon and she went out and she started this training plan. She had it all on a spreadsheet and she went out and she found out that she just didn't get the runs done and she failed. And she said, from a type A personality, that's not a good place. I failed. I wasn't able to go to this race that I had put, this goal race that I had out there. And so she devised a method that I have found very effective for me. And it is this: something is better. Do something just a little bit more than nothing. And the way that I've translated that in is one is better than nothing. What she did was she said, on the days that I'm supposed to go run, I'm going to, regardless of anything that's going on in my life, I'm going to go out the door and run for 1 minute. And if that's all I do that day, at least I did 1 minute, because that's better than doing nothing. And so what I did on last Saturday and what I've done on countless times where I've just don't think I have the time or I don't have the energy or the motivation. We can get into motivation, how that's an elusive character, is on those days I will say, I'm going to go run for 1 mile. So on Saturday, I had this 12-mile run that was scheduled. I went out and I said, I'm just going to run for 1 mile and I'll turn back. Well, what ended up happening and what has happened every single time I've done that is I end up doing the workout and I get back and I'm so glad that I did it. And it's a win psychologically. It's a win physically. And mentally, it's just an overall win. So that's my gold nugget.
And I think it's a great gold nugget. In fact, in the
I'm making t-shirts, by the way.
And in the dirt today, you drew it out.
I drew it out for Don. Yep.
And so that image, I hope, carries on.
It'll be
the
in
podcast.
The show notes.
Well,
it'll be
the
in
podcast,
the show notes.
On the picture. And what is that image? It's one.
It's math. I drew the math out. And yep. And as a headmaster, AJW, you would appreciate this, unless Common Core has dissolved this from when I learned math. And it all this is one.
The number one.
The greater than symbol and a zero. One is greater than nothing. And I'm getting t-shirts and hats made.
I will tell you that even with Common Core, that is still true.
but Scott, I really think that is a recipe for a lot of things. I mean, whether it is get to the next aid station, whether it is watching your diet, whether it's getting extra sleep, whatever it might be through life, just taking a little nibble off a big piece is a great strategy, and giving yourself permission to claim victory for a portion. Because eventually this big piece that you're talking about that you take a nibble off of has to be devoured at some point. And even a little nibble reduces the size of the big piece. So victory for sure, because otherwise without that nibble, it'd still be on there.
And psychologically, if all I was able to do that day is get a mile done, you know, in literature they say there's man versus himself, man versus what are they? And AJ, man versus nature. This is man versus himself, and I conquered myself by I did the 1 mile. But what I've always found, at least in my circumstance, is that 1 mile turns into two, turns into three, turns into getting the workout done, and inevitably, there's not one time I've ever finished a run. Even the ones that I've bonked on and they've been slower than I've always finished. And I thought, I'm so glad that I did it.
You know, there's something victorious about the daily grind. And I've written about this and I Run Far, and I think it's an important piece of the puzzle that, no, we know that whether it's for the last year and a half or for the last 10 years, there are things that get in the way. But those times when no one is looking, those times when you feel like you just want to roll over and hit snooze, those times when you'd rather take the zero than the one, those are the times that like really test us as people. And that daily grind, it doesn't even matter if you're training for a race. It doesn't even matter if you care about doing races. I mean, what the last year and a half has taught us is that there's a lot of people who want to exercise and get out there just for the sake of exercising and getting out there. But having a disciplined reason to do something is actually, I think, a fundamental human centering device. And for me, discipline and consistency are inextricably linked. Like for me, I just think the most important part of my day, you know, I'm going to do a lot of other important things that are going to help put food on the table for my family, that are going to help make changes in the lives of young people, that are going to help teachers become better teachers, that are going to help runners become, you know, all the list of things that I'm going to do. But the most important part of my day is that hour or 75 minutes or whatever it is on the weekend, 2 hours, 3 hours, 7 hours, where I'm doing that run. And if you can do it consistently, then when you aren't able to do it, it's like, there's something off here, something missing here. How do I get back to center? And so, you know, Scott, your one is greater than none is really, really at the essence of what it means to sort of be a lifetime athlete.
And I'll ask you this question, both of you. How are these terms interrelated? Motivation versus consistency or discipline?
Well, I think motivation drives consistency and discipline. I think if you're motivated for a goal, that it helps push those forward. I think that's why we sign up for races. You're motivated to show up bib day prepared and wanting to perform well at your best, but also not to suffer on that day that you signed up for, because you know if you sign up for that particular event, if you don't prepare adequately, there's going to be some real suffering going on. And the tough part about that suffering is that you know that it's preventable. You know if you had done your work that you would have avoided this. And so there's a piece of being prepared that comes with putting in the work, that when you face the challenges of that particular event, knowing that you did your work, you can say, you know what, there's no reason I can't get this done. There's no reason I can't run through this. There's no reason I can't become victorious here because I've done my work. Whatever that work is, whatever you defined as your work. Now, if you stayed in the truck and you missed that run and you didn't do another repeat on that particular hill or whatever your list of workouts are, when you show up out there on that race day and it gets hard, you're inevitably going to go back and say, you know what? I just didn't prepare. I deserve this. I can't push through it because I didn't prepare for it. So I think that getting out there, doing the work provides additional mental strength and confidence to get over it.
Well, maybe I'm splitting hairs here, Andy, but to me, motivation is fleeting. I can be motivated to get out and start getting in shape for the next, next training block. But I find that motivation doesn't usually every time get me out the door. What do you think?
Well, look, science suggests there are two kinds of motivation, extrinsic and intrinsic, right? Your truck story is an example of intrinsic. No one was watching you in the truck. No one was saying, oh, look at War still sitting in the truck scrolling through his emails.
There were people calling the police wondering whether
who this vagrant was, this loiterer hanging around.
Yeah, there were people watching me, Andy.
So I mean, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, let's put extrinsic motivation over here. The guys and gals who are motivated to win races and get sponsorships and get into Harvard and get into Stanford and you know, have the world look at them in ways that they want to be looked at. I mean, that does motivate people. That's a powerful thing for ambitious people, for people who want that in their lives. And it's something that's very much a part of our sport, right? And we do see people that when they no longer have that extrinsic reward, they drop out of the sport. Then there's the rest of us, the 98% of us who are in the sport for the long haul. And we are there because of what it gives us intrinsically. We don't need someone to tell us, oh, if you do this, you're going to be great and you're going to be better at your job and better at being a parent and better at, you know, just being a person. We do it because it's what we love to do. It's what gives us energy. It's what fuels us. And, you know, the fact that you were in there for 45 minutes and then you got out there and you knew, because you'd experienced it before, that 1 mile was going to lead to two and two was going to lead to four. And eventually your 12 miler was going to be done. And so the intrinsic motivation, the intrinsic rewards that come from that are really what ultimately I think should drive somebody to have discipline. And ultimately to have that level of consistency. It's not about getting the participant trophy, right? It's about mm-hmm. getting that satisfaction of being the best version of yourself. And at the end of the day, that's all we want to be. I want to be the best version of Andy Jones Wilkins. And it just so happens that running gives me permission to do that. And as long as I open myself up to that opportunity, then it's all going to be good after that.
And, you know, all these little things, Scott in the truck, the truck story, as we'll refer to it in the future, it is, those are the same things, those same challenges that happen during a long run, whether it's just a long training run or a long race run, whatever it might be, that you're going to have to pass through those same hurdles, those same, I've just got to push past this. And so when they're happening to you in the truck, that you know it's just really a training moment to get past something that you don't want to do, and you need that at race mile X. You still need that discipline and that experience and that willingness to push yourself outside the truck or push yourself down the trail a little bit further. Those are all mental exercises, and I would say as important as the cardiovascular work, you're doing some mental work. And getting out of that truck was part of your exercise. And that training day, if there was somebody that was overseeing this whole thing, that particular training day was a mental training day. And Scott getting out of the truck was his mental victory. And he gained more from getting out of the truck than he did from running the 12 miles. Well, I'm trying to put a positive spin on it, pal. Because you were slow that day.
Yeah, I was really slow.
I just made that up. I don't know. Probably your best day.
Don has a great analogy that he was sharing with me the other day about how he pictures discipline and consistency. You want to share that?
Yeah. So I've used this a long time as a mental image. And I take it back to the days when I was in construction, underground construction. Sometimes there was a lot of water in holes that we had to fill up because we were in the pipe trade. And we would throw shovelfuls of clean rock into a pile of water. And
a pile of water?
Well, so in
water doesn't pile up.
Okay. Say we have a big hole.
There's such a thing as a pile of water?
Yeah, defining gravity.
Gentlemen, you're wrecking the story.
Okay, let's put that in the show notes.
A hole with water in it. A hole with water in it.
Okay, listeners, you know, at least you're following me. These two, they're not. Okay, so we have a large hole. It's filled with water the top. All right. And I'm standing by a big pile of gravel, clean rock. And I take a shovelful and I throw it into this hole and I just keep shoveling. And we would think that the deeper the hole, the longer I need to shovel. But we have no idea how deep the hole is. But we know if we have a little faith and we keep shoveling, eventually that last shovelful will surface on the top and we fill the hole. Whether the hole was 2 feet deep or 20 feet deep, eventually, if we have enough gravel, that hole will be filled and we'll have some rock surfacing on the top of that water. And I think of fitness the same way. I think, okay, I've lost fitness. I have a hole. I need to fill it. I don't know how deep the hole is. I suspect it's pretty deep because I feel out of shape, but that doesn't matter. What I'm going to do is keep shoveling into this hole.
And each run is a shovelful.
War. I'm telling the story.
Okay, I'm just helping people understand your story.
To interject, this reminds me of my college lacrosse coach who used to say, "Hey, someone needs to dig a hole and bury that dirt."
So anyway, in case you listeners are tracking with me, or maybe you're on Scott and AJW side right now and harassing me, which is fine. I enjoy it. But here's the key point. Whether it's a full shovel or a shovel with just a few pieces of gravel,
good
eventually,
point.
Eventually, every shovel full counts, whether it's big or small, and your hole will be filled.
And you end up with a pile of rocks instead of a pile of water.
You're in shape is what it means, Scott. It means you're in shape. And so I think of it that way. Whether I'm going to go out and do a 30-minute run or, you know, a three-hour run, it doesn't matter. I still need to put the time in. I still need to shovel some clean gravel into that unknown deep hole. And eventually, that last shovelful will fill it up. So a 30-minute run counts, a three-hour run counts. And that's at least my metaphor, my mental exercise, the game that I play to help me stay consistent and try to get back into shape.
Hey, Don, you've put a whole new perspective on the phrase dumber than a pile of rocks.
Well, guess what, AJW? There's at least one listener out there that identified with that story despite the interjection, and they will get in shape because they, like me, are following that 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 story.
You know, the thing I really do honestly like about that analogy is sometimes you take, whether it's a small shovelful or a large shovelful, and you throw it into that puddle and you see nothing happen. There are training runs where you go out and you get it done and you go, you know what? I didn't do anything for my fitness at all. But if you use that analogy, you go, you know what? I have faith. You know, I planted the seed. I'm watering the seed. Eventually that seed is gonna put down some roots and sprout into a beautiful flower.
Or maybe you just shoveled a little more rock in the hole. We don't have to get into the flower and the seeds.
Yeah.
So AJW, it really is about, I'll speak to you because you're further away than I am because you're on the Zoom call. It's just important to stay consistent, put in the work, and you just keep putting it in, and just all of a sudden fitness develops. It's just there. It explodes in front of you. And if you've been out of shape and you've had the opportunity to return to shape, you'll notice that it's hard. And I don't know how many hards you get before all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm back. And it just shows up in a day. It doesn't just gradually work. It just, bang, shows up. And it's so fun to know you just have to have faith that that day is coming. When is it going to come? I don't know, but it's coming.
I'm reminded, and all joking aside, I went to a camp, a summer camp for boys in Massachusetts when I was a kid. And our camp director, Tom Lincoln, he was a military guy, and he just ran this wonderful sailing camp. It was Camp Viking Sailing for Boys. And he reminded us often that the root of the word discipline is disciple. And at the risk of getting religious, and I'm not getting religious, but to be a disciple is to follow something. And Don, what you're saying here is really profound, because it's not about necessarily doing something that no one else has done or doing something that's greater than anybody else or going on some fabulous frontier and becoming this great, you know, like social media icon or whatever. What true discipline is just getting the work done. And if it's from the truck analogy, or if it's from just getting, you know, putting in the work day after day, and eventually, because what you're talking about is eventually the switch is flipped, and you know, like, okay, I went from being like pathetically out of shape to sort of in shape to maybe I could sign up for a race to now I've got it, you know? And that is part of being a follower. That is, I mean, we talk all the time about how important it is to be leaders and shape leaders, and we need more leaders in the world. But there's an argument to be made to followership too. And if you're putting in the grind, if you're consistently like getting the job done, then you're just doing that. And then eventually your time will come. And I think that's the message of what both of you have said, whether it's the truck or whether it's waiting for that time, like waiting for that time to come and then it comes. That's what it means to be a true disciple and to actually be disciplined. And that's so cool. And when you feel it happen and when you know it happens, like no one can tell you it didn't happen.
And we talk about lessons that are learned on the trail that can translate to real life. And this is one of the lessons that we can learn on the trail that we could, that cross over to a savings account. Just a little bit in and it grows. Whether it's a family relationship, putting in the time, putting in the moment, whether it's I have 5 minutes that I can share with a message to a phone call to a face-to-face interaction, those all add up. And with compounding interest, you know, a little bit in, all of a sudden, somewhere underneath that, whether you're building your relationship or you're building your savings account or whatever you're building, that underneath that water that I'm talking about, magic things happen too. It's just not that one shovel, but it multiplies down there in some fantastic ways with consistency. It reads into your consistency. It rewards you with consistency. So it's just not a hole that you're filling, but there's an increased rate when you put in the work at a disciplined disciplined what, Scott? A disciplined contribution. Let's just say that. We're going to take a quick break from this discipline consistency discussion with AJW to talk about johnji.com and the fast packing giveaway. We'll tell you how to do it.
It's easy to enter. If you go to johnji.com/fastpacking, you'll enter your information and you'll be entered in this contest to win $2,000 worth of gear. It's going to be a lightweight tent, a lightweight backpack, and all the gear that you're going to need to do a fast packing adventure.
We're going to talk right now about the AVO shirt. We talked about the shorts. We're going to now talk about the shirt, and I've never put on a shirt quite like it. It feels different. It stretches well, and it feels great.
Don't be swayed when you first touch the fabric, because you're going to go, wait a minute, that's kind of weird fabric, but boy, does it perform.
Well, after you wear it, then you'll say, it's not weird, it's functional, I like it. So
and you can get 15% off by going to johnji.com, enter the code TRN15 at checkout.
And get in the fast packing giveaway. That's $2,000, johnji.com/fastpacking.
Okay. You know, we three are coming at this from a perspective where we have been in shape and maybe had a hip injury, a hip resurfacing, or just laziness in my case, and had comebacks. But we have the experience to know that if we put in the work, that it's going to pay off. Coach Andy, as you're coaching new runners, how do you help them have faith or belief in this discipline rule?
Well, it's not easy, because new runners especially, or even runners who've only been running, let's say, 5 to 7 years, they don't have that wisdom that comes from experience. So you have to convince them that they should have that wisdom, and you have to trust that they're going to put in the work. But the sad truth is, people come in and out of the sport a lot of the time, and that's just the nature of the beast. So what I try to teach new runners, or even not so new runners, is if you want to be running when you're 60, 70, 80 years old, then this is what you have to do. And it all comes down to consistency. You can pick what that is. You can say it's 4 days a week of 5 miles. You can say it's 2 days during the week and a long run on the weekend. You can say it's various versions of cross training. But whatever it is, you need to, and I'm evangelical about this, you need to commit, you need to name a plan, commit to it, and execute it. And the executing is the most important. And frankly, that's what spreads to my life in education, spreads to my life as a dad. Like, it's not so much what you say you're going to do, but it's what you actually do. You know, what you actually deliver on the metaphorical race day that is going to make you a better person.
And some golden nuggets that I'm going to throw out to the group is, consistency is easier when you do blank. And I'm going to throw in two things, and you guys can debate these or add into them. One is, have a training partner. When Don and I were training on a regular, I picked Don up at 4:45 in the morning, and he knew that I was coming. I knew that he was waiting for me, and that helped with consistency. So there's one golden nugget, a tactic, if you will, that can help you with the consistency. Through the last 6 months, where I've been trying to be more consistent and disciplined in my training plan, the thing that I have had, because most of these runs are solo runs that I've had to do, is physically put it on my calendar and mark out a time during the day. And that day is not, that time is not always the same, because my schedule changes quite a bit, but I know what I'm going to accomplish that week and what days I'm running and how long I'm running, but I have to block that time out. If I don't block the time out and I'm just thinking, I'll get the run in in the morning, and then my morning blows up with regular business and life. And I go, oh, I'll get it done this afternoon, and this afternoon turns into this evening, and this evening turns into I'll just go to bed. If it's not on my calendar, I have a really tough time. So those are my two tips or tactics. One is find a training partner that is counting on you, or two, put it on a calendar.
And I hear those as the same thing. It's accountability, either to a friend or to your own personal calendar, but they're not negotiable. They happen, and they happen because Scott's going to show up, I'm going to be standing there, and vice versa. Accountability. And how do you, Scott, before AJ and I talk about this, and AJW is next, is that do you hold those spots in your calendar as important as me showing up or you showing up to me? Can you move those? Do they float? Or somebody calls and says, hey, Scott, do you have a 10 o'clock? And you go, no, I don't have a 10 o'clock.
I usually plan my week out at the beginning of the week or the end of the last week, depending. But I put in my runs depending on what my work schedule is and family schedule is. And I try to keep those as locked in as possible. There are life things, there's family things, there's business things that come up. And if it is more important, and you know, you can argue what that is, I have known to float those around. But the nice thing is I work remotely with a team of people. And if I block it off in my Outlook calendar, they see that that time is booked. And so they don't try to book me. And so that has been very, very valuable for me.
I think budgeting out mental, like an opportunity to have a mental break. So the we've talked a lot about muscle memory with respect to running. I think there's mental muscle memory. And so for someone who's lacking motivation or needs consistency, you want to say to them, my first golden nugget is to say to that athlete, that runner, remember how good you felt after X. Yeah. Don't you want to feel that way all the time? Because invariably the answer is yes. And if they want to feel that way all the time, they're going to prioritize that. So, you know, mental muscle memory, that feeling of, oh man, I felt so good after that run, whether it was a 30-minute run or a 3-hour run, I want to continue to like shape my life in such a way that I can have that positive mental muscle memory all the time. Right. It's hard. It's hard in the midst of all the stuff you talked about, Scotty, business challenges, family challenges, just the way life comes at you. But if you're like, well, whoa. That's going to make me so much better in all those other things. If I can just pull on that positive muscle memory, you know, mental muscle memory, then I'm going to do that. The second golden nugget is just simply the fact that having something you do, no matter what, having something that you do, whether it's in the morning, the lunch hour, evening, you know, and holding yourself accountable to that. We've talked about accountability a lot. Like, I'm going to do this no matter what. Right. There's something important in life these days to say, no matter what else happens, no matter what else goes on in my life, I'm going to do this. If you can commit to that, then you're going to be consistent. You know, it may not be the best run in the world. It may not be the most enjoyable experience, but you're like, I'm going to do this no matter what. And you share that with your friends, your spouse, your loved ones, everybody, that's a golden nugget. So that's what you've got to figure out that context and that understanding, and it's going to make you better. It's going to make you a better runner, make you a better person, and it's going to make the people around you feel better too.
I think there's a ripple effect to what Scott's talking about. It's in his calendar, and if that's where the stone lands in the water, there's this ripple effect. And the ripple effect I'm talking about...
Oh, we're back to the metaphor.
Back to the water hole. But this water hole is a lake, Scott. It's a big hole.
And oh my God, are we pouring more shovels into it?
Come on, guys. Stay with me on this ripple effect. And so the stone lands on that time that he's going to run. And the ripple is the is how it affects the rest of his decisions throughout the day. It's about his eating. It's about his water intake. It's about what time he goes to bed. It's about all the other things that allows that calendar moment to be maximized or less painful in some respect. I don't want to do things to sabotage myself. So holding that date and that run may have only taken 90 minutes, but affected the rest of the 22 and a half hours in the day.
Man, Don totally saved that one, didn't he?
Despite you guys harassing me.
Instead of speaking theoretically, you can tell me, Don and I went on a run this afternoon, and he was telling
me. Have we mentioned that we ran together today about six times? Go ahead, Scott.
People need to know. I mean, we used to run a lot together, but now you live in a different city, and I don't get to see you. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Bro hug, okay. Bro hug.
No, but he was telling me that in his quest to be more disciplined, even if he knows that he is going out and has scheduled a run for that afternoon that's a 2-mile run or whatever it is, he makes better choices. This is the ripple effect, better choices in what he eats. So instead of grabbing the blank or whatever that is to make a wiser food choice because he knows that he's going to be running and he doesn't want to feel like he's running in Jell-O.
AKA ripple effect. It's well known. Hashtag ripple.
Is that like trickle down economics?
It could be.
That's a theory though, isn't it?
So AJW, we came up with a couple of our thoughts or practices in consistency and discipline through your comeback of your hip, through your enormous victorious finishes at long, long races. No doubt you have plugged in some discipline and preparation, discipline to complete and finish and win some of these races. How does your world in trail running revolve around discipline and consistency?
It's funny you ask that because what I've often, especially in the last couple of years, what I've often thought when I go out for a run, like a typical Tuesday morning run, is I want to run fast enough to get myself fit, but slow enough so I can run tomorrow. And then repeat that, and then repeat it again, and then repeat it again. So if you take, for example, the 50 miler I'm going to do on Saturday, right, that I just signed up for on Tuesday, because I realized I have a 100 miler, you know, in 8 weeks. I just want to run a 50 miler and I have enough experience and miles on my chassis to know that I can run 50 miles. But I also know that you just need to kind of do the work. Like you talked about earlier, Don, you need to just put in the work. And I think that is for people who want to be in the sport for a long time. And I know there are a lot of people who they love the community. They love the camaraderie. They love just being out in the woods and being out in the mountains, you know. I mean, when I said on Tuesday, hey, Shelley, I'd like to go off to the Ouachita 50. It looks like they still have a couple of spots. I can camp the night before and be back Saturday night. And they have a 13-hour cutoff, so I'm going to have to move my ass. You know, I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so I think that, you know, when motivation is a tricky thing because it's way easier to be unmotivated for things than to be motivated for things. It like many things in life, it's way easier to dwell on the negative than the positive. Mm-hmm. And what ultra running has taught me, and I think what has taught everybody who's been in the sport for all these years, is that it's a great place for positivity. It's a great place for feeling good about yourself. It's a great place for having victories that you might otherwise not have. And to me, that makes it worth, you know, kind of being part of it for as long as I can.
Hey, AJW, I have a question for you that I'd like to ask. So A Western States 2005, you would have had your cougar on your mantle, except for this guy, Scott Jurek, that showed up that happened to decide to take it home. Otherwise, you would have had it. So you've run at the front, and you have your own first place trophies. You are right there at the pinnacle of the endurance event, Western States, where the most talented runners come, and you can be counted among those. At what point, how do you, as you move through the decades, let go of the quest to be on top, but still be content, satisfied, and have the joy of running, but not be chasing the front?
Hey, Don, thank you so much for bringing up the 2005 Western States 100.
I didn't know if anybody is aware of your accomplishment at 2005.
And if you haven't seen the video, you can just kidding. You know, it's interesting, actually, that you say. I mean, yes, I got second place at Western States to Scott Jurek 16 years ago. And it was awesome. And to me, when I crossed the finish line, and when Greg Soderlund gave me my buckle, he was like, you acted like you were winning. You know, it felt like I won. So I'm going to take that and run with it.
You've got more mileage out of it than Scott Jurek.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think my finish at 2005 is way more memorable than his. Yeah. So
more people have heard about it.
Right. But of course, I never won the race. I'm never going to win the race, but I love the race, and it's a big part of who I am. But more to the point of your question, I just love running. I love running. And, you know, I've been at races these last couple of years where they're like, what are you doing all the way back here? Or, oh my God, you're AJW. Didn't you have hip surgery? You're still running. Like, it runs the gamut. And mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, I love, when I started in the sport, I wasn't at the front of the line. I just had a few years where I was in the front of the line. And now for the last 10 or so years, I've, you know, getting closer and closer to the back of the line. And that's fine. That's the way it is. That's the way life is. And so, I'm totally good with that. And I mean, I actually wish more runners who were fast when they were young still would run ultras, but for whatever reason they don't. But I do enjoy it. And frankly, when I show up at races and they're like, oh, wait, you're the guy. I mean, and most often they say, hey, you're the guy who got second to Scott Jurek in 2005. Right? It's like, well, okay. You know, yep, I'm that guy.
I wanted to ask you that question, and we never talked about it off a recording, but always interested me. And I'm glad that you accepted the question so graciously, that more people should give themselves that permission to continue enjoying the sport, to embrace time as it evolves, to realize you can't always stay as fast as you once were, that all of us that run for more than a decade, or, you know, into the second or third or fourth, if we're lucky enough, we'll see a decrease in our performance, but we have to be okay with it. We have to embrace it. We have to enjoy different things that it brings, you know. You could, and so I think that's important. And I want to recognize you being very, very good at that and setting an example for others to give them courage to do what you're doing.
Well, if I could actually take a moment to talk about that, because particularly with respect to consistency. You know, I'm in 7 months, I'll be celebrating the 30th anniversary of my first ultra, which I ran in the winter of 1992. And my wife and I were talking a few days ago, Shelley, who's been with me for all my Western States and everything, and she basically said to me, you know, you're coming on three decades in the sport. It's really time for you to double down and actually write that book. And I have I've been writing about the sport for a long time. And now, like you, Don, I have a little bit more time in my life, and we're going to be empty nesters in the short period of time. And And I'm doubling down on writing that book. And a big part of the book that I'm going to write, it's called, Blowing Out the Carbon, Three Decades, Ruminating on Three Decades in the Sport of Ultra Running. But a big part of that is what the topic of this conversation is: consistency, discipline, getting the job done. And frankly, to be able to write the book, I'm going to need to do that. I'm going to need to block out 2-3 hours a day to sit down in a room and write that book. I'm inspired by Steve Prefontaine. He was the one who first coined the phrase blowing out the carbon. And who doesn't want to blow out the carbon once in a while, especially these days, about, just flush your system out of whatever worries you, whatever ails you, whatever's frustrating you. And for me, blowing out the carbon, if that could be my book that I give to running, and I've now committed to it. I've committed to 2 hours a day for the next 14 weeks. And, I'm going to be out at Western States again, of course, this year. And I'm going to be, running my own 100 miler. And I think it's really important that we realize, the importance of what it means to be a lifelong runner. And the ways in which the metaphor, we've talked about metaphors today, but the ways in which running teaches us life lessons. And I have learned no more important life lessons than I've learned as a life as a runner. So, I hope to be that guy chasing whatever the longest cutoffs are and whatever the most generous cutoff races are when I'm 80 years old. Because that's what gives me spirit. That's what gives me life. That's what gets me waking up the next day and saying, okay, I'm going to run 5 miles now. Let's do it.
Love it.
One of the friends that we've met over the years is Brian Kontosh, or Tosh. And he has a podcast called Crooked Butterfly.
Right, yep.
And I was listening to one of his. If you want to just, if you're into the philosophical musings of one man's mind. Crooked Butterfly is that podcast.
A very disciplined mind. It's gone through.
I don't know if it's very disciplined.
Well, you tell him that.
It's free form thought that on his podcast. It's him sitting in front of a mic with him ruminating over something.
Tell him that at your own risk, War. You might get your ass kicked.
and I'm not helping you.
but I want to give him a compliment. I'm trying to pay him a compliment. One of his recent podcasts that he did, I don't know if he coined the phrase, but the phrase that he used was, a little bit of discipline brings a whole lot of happiness. And if you're, I'm thinking of a scale, one of those old fashioned scales. If you put a little bit of discipline on one side, man, that scale just pops on the other side with happiness. And he explained in his life how this discipline that he was striving for and was succeeding with, although there were some bumps, along the way, but that's the thing that kept him in his mind thinking, okay, all I need to do is have a little bit of discipline here. And if I do, a whole lot of happiness is going to come from that. Mm. I appreciated that.
Yeah. Brian.
I love you, Tosh, by the way. So don't beat me up. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You can say it. And I think he'll be okay with it because not only...
He doesn't listen.
No. I think he listens to every podcast. And he's extremely disciplined. He learned it in the Marine Corps. Yeah. He's practiced it. He's been in charge of a group of men, leading them through the dangers of real-time war, and has practiced many of the things that he speaks about. And he's a great CrossFitter, a great trail runner, and a great friend. And I think you can't go wrong quoting him.
Hey, it sounds like we're winding down is what you were doing, but I have another question for you.
He was a participant in the slowest in the slowest known time on the Western States course.
Yeah, and he's the guy that slowed us down. I mean, Terry and I were like, come on, Tosh, get going here.
Now someone else is going to get beat up. But back to the Marine thing, Don is a Marine. What did the Marines teach you about discipline?
Well, it's probably the reason that I became an ultra runner. It's really just about discipline and challenging yourself and, you know, bringing Marine Corps training into the Tosh conversation on the slowest known time for Western states, which we own outright.
Oh, you guys and got it made.
No cost, no contest.
And I don't think there's enough time for anybody to beat it. There's not enough time left on the planet for that to be.
I mean, Scott would have to go to work, come back, go to work again, and then come back again.
I think you said one of your best lines, AJW, was, I'm surprised you didn't go through the seasons on that run and have to deal with snow. And we started in June. Yeah, it was slow, but we got it done and we learned a lot and we had a great time. And I've run a number of races like all three of us have. And you know what? That can be accounted as one of my favorite. And it doesn't have to be fast. It doesn't have to be iconic. It doesn't have to land on the FKT page. But on my personal page, loved it. Wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't even trade it for your 2005 second place to Scott Jurek run. I wouldn't even trade it for that.
You don't know. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Hey, JW, you know, honestly, you could have run it twice in that time that you ran in 2005, this run.
I don't know, Freeman. If you cross the line at Western States and there's like only one guy that finished ahead of you, it feels pretty good. That's all I'm going to say.
On our 2020 adventure that we did, there was only one guy standing left at the end. So we kind of had the opposite. Well, I think pretty much what we've said here. Well, I might as well finish my comment about the Marine Corps discipline and Tosh before you went off on the slowest known time. It is about his saying that he reminded us on this run. It's easier to keep up than catch up, mm-hmm. And that goes with the getting out of Scott's truck. It goes with putting rocks in the hole. It goes with continuing to run over time that you're doing, AJW. It's easier just to keep up than let yourself fall off the back, get so far behind, get a belly bigger than your IQ, and try to get back. It's easier just to put in a little bit just to maintain, to keep yourself in the game. And so that's my Tosh comment.
Hey, you know, as we're finishing up, I think Don and I were talking about this throughout the U.S. anyway, and I think other areas of the world, the COVID thing is, I don't know if it's like we can say coming to an end, but races are opening, right?
Things are starting to lift a bit, and we're respectful of the severity of the virus. We know that people have lost lives or family members from it. And we're cognizant of the local warnings to stay disciplined and mask up and keep distance, all of that stuff. However, there are some races that are starting to allow some limited participation.
Yeah, and the race directors have been so good about coming up with new protocols and strategies to keep everyone safe, along with the volunteers.
And in fact, kudos to the racers who haven't gone and demanded entries back from race directors to really would create catastrophe within their own personal finances. I think both race directors and racers have been a real true community to weather this COVID storm.
But with that stated, there's so many races that are now opening up, and we would encourage you to go check out those races. And like Andy's doing, going and racing this 50 miler that he's going to, there's races all over. We became aware of that AR50, the American River 50 mile race, which is it the oldest 50 mile race? That's JFK, right?
AJW knows the stats on that, no doubt.
Yeah, AR-50 is the second oldest. JFK is the oldest.
It's the second oldest and one of the iconic 50 milers in the nation. And they're going to be running it on May 8th, did I say?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
On Saturday, May 8th. And we would encourage you, if you live within the Sacramento area, or driving, or you can fly in, go take advantage of that race. It's such a good race. They have the best volunteers. It's going to be great weather. And there's so many races all around the country. Let's get back in and support these race directors and setting goals for yourself that will help you be more consistent.
I would absolutely concur. We've now been at this for a whole year. The race directors know the protocols. There's lots of governing bodies that have supported this. If racers are interested in running races, they're out there for them to do. They have to follow rules. They have to fall within the guidelines. But I mean, having been a participant myself, it's doable. It's possible. And it's, you know, we're not going to just flip a switch like Don's training and all of a sudden do races like we did them in the old days, but we are moving towards what will be a new way of doing races. And so I would, as you guys have said, I would encourage people and definitely tell the race directors, tell the volunteers how much you appreciate them doing that, because it's bringing our community back together. And let me tell you, the community wants to be back together. There's no doubt about that. The social isolation that this last year has caused all of us to fall into, we want that connection, and we're willing to make the sacrifices to do it.
Yeah, don't miss the magic. You know, this made me think, as you're saying that, AJW and Scott, your comments, that we're a tight community. And when we stretch that community out and we start to separate further and further in more time, then to all of a sudden release it, there's going to be so much energy at those races that people are just going to come back together, and it's going to be a celebration of community. And don't miss that. This is like one of those moments in time that you can say, remember when we first came back from that pandemic? Oh, was that a joyous time? And you don't want to miss that. That's a celebration.
So I just want to make everybody aware. Go check out those races that are out there and sign up for one.
Yeah, good, Scott. I'm glad you did that. So stay consistent, stay blessed, stay disciplined, and run
Moss.
We like to thank our Patreon members. Not only do they get the bonus mile, Scott, but they can get the bonus miles wearing a new pair of John G. shorts.
And this week's bonus miles with Angie Jones Wilkins is quite fun. But here's the deal. We were able to negotiate with John G. 10 of our Patreon subscribers are going to get a free pair of these AVO shorts we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. Make sure you get entered, because we're going to be drawing 10 winners here in 2 months.
And if you're not a Patreon member today, don't worry. We'll hold the line. Just join us and you can get into the entry as well.
We want to thank Doug Crumley at Ameriprise Financial Services for being a business Patreon supporter. What are your passions? What do you want to pursue next in life? Do you want to be a mentor or a coach, a volunteer at a trail running event, travel overseas to your running dream ultra? Your Ameriprise private wealth advisor, Doug Crumley and Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, can help you plan for that next life you want today and well into the future. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Visit www.dougcrumleyjr.com. That's DougCrumleyJr.com. And this episode is produced by Doug Mayer, who lives in Chamonix, France, at the base of those amazing Alps. In fact, he runs a company called Run the Alps that is going to be opening up this year again after the pandemic to provide amazing tours of those mountains. Make sure you go to runthealps.com to find out more.